Welcome to the Netzpolitik.org podcast. My name is Markus Beckedahl, and my guest today is Jimmy Wales from Wikipedia.
Ja, ich heiße Jimbo.
I can call you Jimbo. Hi. Can you explain what is the future of Wikipedia after 7 or 8 years long history?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because for me, when people ask about the future, the thing that I am most concentrated on is the growth of Wikipedia in the languages of the developing world. So we already have, of course, a very strong project in English, German, French, Japanese, all of the major languages of Europe and Chinese, Japanese. But what I find really interesting is what's going on right now in the languages of India, in Bengali, Kannada, Hindi, where we're seeing sometimes as much as 10% monthly growth. And what's interesting about this is that it's actually a movement in India. The IT sector in India is very strong. And of course, everyone working in IT in India works in English, but they have a very strong passion for their local culture, local language. And only in the last 2 to 3 years, we've seen standardization of keyboards, of entry methods. And so people are beginning to get really involved on that local scene. And it's amazing, like the passion and the excitement that people have there. It reminds me actually of Germany 3 years ago, where people became very excited about Wikipedia. So for me, that's the frontier. Of course, when people ask about the future of Wikipedia, they're also asking, that's nice about India and what's going on around the world, but what about here in Germany and in English? And I think one of the big things that we're seeing is a big push for quality control. So right now in German Wikipedia, there's the use of the stable version system, which is a really new concept for trying to help basically provide the tools that the community wants and needs to be able to control the quality. It seems, so far successful. There's a few problems here and there, but mostly it seems good and people are very happy about it. And I think it's going to eliminate some of the ideas of Wikipedia is kind of okay if it's not been vandalized and things like that, to really say we're here as part of a humanitarian project to share knowledge in a new, radical new way. We're not just crazy internet people. Well, we are crazy internet people, but we're not just crazy internet people. We're also trying as a community to do something important and thoughtful and kind to supply knowledge to everyone. And so, I'm excited about all that.
From an outside view, what do you see in the German community?
Well, it's interesting. The German community has always been, since the very early days, really one of the strongest communities as a community. It's always been a bit smaller than English, but not so much smaller than English. And considering there's 85 million native German speakers and I think 120 million total compared to, a billion or something English, it's really not that far behind. It's because there's a really deep passion about knowledge and encyclopedias. And it's just been a very strong community. And, of course, the clear difference between the German Wikipedia community and others has always been this idea or this passion for quality. It's almost a stereotype, around the world that people say, yes, BMW, Mercedes, yes, the Germans are very uptight about quality. But it's actually true to some extent, and I don't know if it's a stereotype or what, but it is this idea. And of course, I think it's partly German intellectual heritage. The idea of the encyclopedia has always been something very important in German culture. But I also think there's something really interesting going on. I've talked to a lot of the German Wikipedians who say, because they say, why is it so popular in Germany? Why is it so? And people say amongst the young people in Germany, and I'm not talking like, teenagers, but I mean really like 20s, 30s, there is this real passion that amongst Germans, that Germans want to be good. that the history of Germany and all of the problems in the last century don't really reflect what the people here are like. Huge anomaly, and so really wanting to show the world Germans are good, and we're sharing things, and we're doing things important and wonderful. And so I think that spirit, that idea of, well, we don't have the guilt of the past, we want to be positive for the future, is, surprising to me, because as an American, I say, well, whatever, it's history, you know. We don't care about history. We're Americans, you know. But for Germans, I think it's really important to say, we're doing something useful.
Oh, a very nice view.
Yes.
So you are also involved in the Creative Commons movement.
Yes.
What is the combination between Creative Commons and Wikipedia?
Well, of course, Creative Commons is really, really important to Wikipedia. Even though the main license that Wikipedia has always used is the GNU Free Documentation License, which is from the Free Software Foundation, that's really a matter of historical accident, because Wikipedia existed before Creative Commons. But the Creative Commons licenses really do capture the spirit of Wikipedia, in the sense that you don't need to be a lawyer to think about how you're going to share your work online. You need some basic ideas. You say, well, I want to share my work and let anyone use it freely. And in Wikipedia, this is the core, right? And a lot of the images in Wikipedia, because images are naturally more suited for Creative Commons license, are all, you know, lots of Creative Commons licensed images. And in fact, we've been working very hard with the Free Software Foundation to find a solution to the problems of license incompatibility. So I think the listeners of this podcast are pretty sophisticated in these complicated issues of licensing and so on, and would realize that we've had this problem for a long time, that the Free Documentation License and, for example, the Creative Commons by SA or the Attribution Share Alike license, they're the same philosophically. The idea is, you can take my work, you can do anything you want with it, you can modify it, you can redistribute it, but the only requirement that I would have is that you also make your shared version free as well. That's the philosophy of both licenses, and there's really very little differences. I mean, some technical details and so on, but because the licenses were written independently, they've been incompatible. And so you cannot easily combine works under the different licenses. Finally, after many years of negotiations and talks and works, we're getting very, very close to a solution in which we'll be able to migrate to a unified solution. I'm very excited about this, because I think that this kind of legal framework for sharing, in Wikipedia world, we're really concerned about sharing freely licensed in the sense of GNU. But even beyond that, right, even the things we would never accept in Wikipedia, so non-commercial licenses or no derivatives licenses, things like this, I still think they have a huge important place for certain types of work, certain types of sharing people want to do. And Creative Commons is really, it's amazing. I think only 100 years from now, people will look back and realize how important all this was. Because most people, well, they don't know anything about copyright. They said, well, I put myself online and I put a note and said, well, whatever you want to do with it, right? But that's not really sufficient legally. And the idea that you can say, oh, whatever you want to do with it, that's fine. Oh, okay, well, I just go to the Creative Commons website and I choose a license and it's easy, and now everyone can share my work and it's great.
So you proposed the compatible licenses a year ago. Do you see any timetable when its target is reached?
Well, it's more than a year ago. I mean, we've been talking about it for many, many years. I think probably within the next 3 to 6 months, we're going to have a new release of the Free Documentation License from the Free Software Foundation. We're really in the final stages of negotiating the exact text of the license. I mean, it's a problem because we're trying to accommodate everyone, but also there's really complicated legal issues and many different sort of stakeholders and so on. As far as I'm concerned, we should have done it 2 years ago. For me, it's easy. Just stop, it's all about sharing. But I understand, there's more complicated issues at stake. So I hope soon. Soon. Soon, please.
Yeah, I hope too. Creative Commons license 3.0. Mm-hmm. Is compatible to the FDL? No, the FDL has to.
Well, it's more reach. Like the yeah, exactly. The I mean, the FDL has to reach to be compatible. So, I mean, and it's more important than most people realize. I mean, this is some kind of obscure corner of geek culture that we all care about this licensing, and nobody's really thought about why is it important. I mean, well, I shouldn't say nobody's thought about it. People within the movement have thought about it. Outside the movement, people just say, oh, yeah, you know, I go on Wikipedia, I like it, and, well, yeah, it's a Flickr, and I see some pictures, and maybe I'll put some pictures from, oh, I found a cool picture, I think I'll put it in Wikipedia, oh, no, it's not compatible, blah, blah, blah. It's really important, and I think once these legal frameworks are worked out, we're going to see a second wave of innovation from people who weren't able to do things in the past that they would love to be able to do. I mean, we've had situations where different people, you know, major internet portals would say, we really want to try and promote Wikipedia more. We want to, but in order for us to promote it more, we really need to incorporate some of the content from Wikipedia into our pages, and then we'll send people to Wikipedia. And, well, but our lawyers looked at the license, and we don't really understand, and what should we do? And we are, well, we just said, well, oh, no, it's very complicated, you know. Once we have a little bit more clarity around the licensing situation, lots of cool things can happen, you know, books, DVDs, movies. I mean, one of the things I always invite people to think about when they're thinking about license compatibility is imagine if you wanted to create a political documentary film, and you've got a lot of Creative Commons licensed footage, video footage. And you want to have a voiceover, a narrative, where you're reading the basic factual background from Wikipedia. You've got someone with a beautiful voice who's talking about the history of this monument or something. Oh, sorry, that's illegal, right? Even though everyone in Wikipedia loves the idea, everyone who's doing the Creative Commons work loves the idea, you cannot combine a Wikipedia entry by reading it with Creative Commons licensed footage because it's not compatible. So these things don't happen. And certainly, maybe they do happen a little bit casually because people just ignore the law. But what we really want to do is see, no, actually, you can do this. And not only can you do it, but you can distribute it widely. You can actually maybe even have a business model around it. Maybe you can take this video that you've created that's freely licensed and put it on network television and sell advertisements. And, yeah, well, you made some money, and that's great, but people can also download it and remove the ads and do whatever they want with it as well. Ah, this is free culture. This is about sharing and knowledge. And, well, don't get me started.
When we combine Creative Commons, Wikipedia, free software, and all the other stuff, there are lots of names for that new move, social movement, like yeah. Free culture, access to knowledge, digital environmentalists, open source movement. What do you really like as a name?
So I really like free culture as a broad description of the whole movement. I share with Richard Stallman a lot of ideas, and I consider myself really more of a fundamentalist in the Richard Stallman camp. We don't share eye to eye on everything, but that's really the side that I come from. So I'm always uncomfortable with when we talk about open source. It's a fine term. I use it sometimes myself, but my concern is when we talk about open source, we're not really communicating to people the idea of free speech and freedom. And that's really important. Open source just sounds like some technocratic whatever. And so the same thing for free culture. You know, I think free culture really is a nice term because it describes the idea of freedom around culture. Now, of course, there's a lot of problems with it because free culture, it doesn't really say much. But it's a technical term. It's a buzzword. Access to knowledge, I think, is really important. For me, access to knowledge is really more about, you know, free licensing of scientific literature and thinking about broader issues than just the licensing. Issues like, when we have taxpayer-funded research, shouldn't it be available for free to the taxpayers? We paid for it, after all. Those kinds of issues. Free culture for me is really an important word.
Okay, thank you very much for
the interview. Thank you. It was very nice. It was fun.